At 1:26, BBC broadcast a report to the people of Holland advising them to leave their homes and keep off the roads. Still no confirmation by Allied headquarters. And at 1:33, the official German news agency, DNB, joined the Nazi Transocean Agency in broadcasting German reports of the beginning of the invasion from the west. At 1:44, the War Department in Washington announced it had no information on the invasion, and the Allied headquarters in London still failed to confirm it. The same news, with little detail, kept pouring in. The War Department and Navy Department and the OWI had no information. But at 2:30 a.m. came the news that the entire staff of the War Department in Washington had reported for duty at 1:45 a.m. Then, at 3:14 a.m., came the first bulletin which brought the news closer to home.
We interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin from the WOR newsroom. Bulletin, New York. The London radio has announced there is bombardment of the port of Le Havre. The acknowledgement of the shelling of Le Havre came in an announcement broadcast to Europe's underground. The London radio warned European underground workers to report to their leaders. The British broadcast told the underground members to be prepared for anything.
Then at 3:32 a.m. this morning, Tuesday, June 6th, the official announcement was broadcast from official Allied headquarters in London as follows.
This is Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force. The text of communique number one will be released to the press and radio of the United Nations in 10 seconds. Repeat, 10 seconds from now. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing on the northern coast of France. The communique will be repeated. Under the command of General Eisenhower, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing Allied armies this morning on the northern coast of France. This ends the reading of communique number one from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Force.
We're back in New York, and we introduce Mr. Sidney Mosley for a commentary on the latest news. Mr. Sidney Mosley.
Thank you, Dave. Well, the great news has arrived. You heard the bulletin just now from London under General Eisenhower's command, Allied naval forces, supported by strong air forces, began landing our troops on the northern coast of France. That at last is definite and official, and it means that in the next hours or even days, we shall get the full plan of the invasion. Up to now, we've been getting news for the last past hour or so coming in from Nazi sources, and these have said that the invasion had begun, that we had landed paratroops, and that our navy had been bombarding Le Havre at the mouth of the Seine. Well, we know Le Havre is the shortest route across, also the strongest point of the invasion. You've got to remember that. Round here, the Nazis have built up strong and deeply fortified zones so that the Nazi announcement, we haven't said anything about paratroops in this official bulletin that's just come over, but it's very logical that we are trying to land paratroops in order to capture the airfields, which would in turn facilitate the landing of more paratroops.
Then at 3:38 a.m. from London came the broadcast of the Order of the Day.
The following is the Order of the Day, issued today by General Eisenhower to each individual of the Allied Expeditionary Force. Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeat in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. This order was distributed to assault elements after their embarkation. It was read by appropriate commanders to all other troops in the Allied Expeditionary Force. I return you now to the United States.
And then, just 4 minutes later, Mutual again went to London for a description this time of the scene of the takeoff of troops from Allied expeditionary bases. The account was given by Herbert M. Clark, speaking from London.
This is Herbert M. Clark in a takeoff report from an Allied expeditionary base. I don't have to explain what the takeoff is. When you hear this, you'll know that Allied forces have leaped the gap between the bases in the United Kingdom and the coast of France. We'll be there, and we'll be there to stay as you listen.
A few minutes later, at 3:54 a.m., came messages by the King of Norway, the Prime Ministers of the Netherlands and Belgium, talking to the people of their nations, and English translations followed. A message of hope and liberation, a message urging cooperation with the Allies. Repeating again and again, communique number one from Supreme Allied Headquarters announcing the start of the invasion. And then, back to London, for the first of a series of broadcasts from there for descriptions of the landing of the troops in France.
This is Wright Bryan speaking from London. In the first hour of D-Day by British double summer time, or a little more than an hour before D-Day began by Greenwich Mean Time, the first spearhead of Allied forces for the liberation of Europe landed by parachute in northern France. In the navigator's dome in the flight deck of a C-47, I rode across the English Channel with the first group of planes from Troop Carrier Command to take our fighting men into Europe. Just before we left French soil for the return trip to England, I watched from the rear door of our plane, named the Snooty, as 17 American paratroopers, led by Lieutenant Colonel, jumped with their arms, ammunition, and equipment into German-occupied France. Our group, at the head of the leading wing from the U.S. 9th Air Force's Troop Carrier Command, was met with only scattering small arms fire from the fields, which were dark and quiet as we entered enemy territory.
Quote, American troops have landed in Western Europe. As the overmastering military might of the Allies advances, it will be joined by men of the occupied countries whose land has been overrun by the enemy, but whose spirit remains unconquered. 26 years ago, American soldiers, in cooperation with their allies, were locked in mortal combat with the German army. Their march of victory was never halted until the enemy laid down his arms in defeat. The American soldier of 1917-18, fighting in a war of liberation, wrote by his deeds one of the most glorious pages of military history. Today, the sons of American soldiers of 1917-18 are engaged in a light war of liberation. It is their task to bring freedom to peoples who have been enslaved. I have every confidence that they, together with their gallant brothers in arms, will win through to victory. And that was General John J. Pershing's message, inspiring message, which has just come in.
In London, American radio correspondents have for some time been making preparations to transmit pooled messages to this country close on the heels of the initial announcement. And here is what Vandercook said from London at 4:43 a.m.
250,000 people will say today, this is really it. This is a Queen's move, straight across the board. The astronomical numbers of planes of the weeks past have been pulverizing rod by rod and yard by yard. Every German position from literally the beginning of shallow water to far within the hinterland of France have now, with close naval support, been followed by the paratroopers, the landing boats, the infantry.
And at 4:48, again from London, a broadcast by James Wellard tells of the first American troops landing in France.
This is James Wellard speaking from Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Forces. I have just seen the first American troops preparing to storm ashore onto the continent of Europe. They were about to land on the north coast of France at 6:30 British summer time this morning. At 6:23, the Marauder bomber in which I was riding dropped the last load of bombs to be launched onto the coastal targets before H hour a few minutes later, when our landing barges would strike the shore. All night and from dawn onwards, thousands of Allied planes have been softening up a strip of coast. Already several thousand paratroopers are waiting further inland to join forces with the landing parties. These airborne troops were flown in last night. I could see evidence of the landings in a number of parachutes lying in the little fields.
And so during the night, the news of invasion reached radio listeners all over the country. For those of you who may have missed these actual first announcements, Mutual has presented by transcribed rebroadcast the sequence of the early developments, including the first German bulletins, the official Allied announcement which followed, together with eyewitness reports direct from Europe. This is Paul Killian speaking from New York. This is Mutual.